Thank you to Konigsberg for hosting us tonight. I'd like to finish this topic tonight. So we have two or three, I don't remember what we spoke about last week, but two or three other potential issues that come up when discussing the doing business on the internet on Shabbos. We've spoken about the business, the issue of doing business, and the kinyanim at length. We spoke about the Lusa de Shabbos, which is almost like not Shabbos dick. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. There are a few other issues that are brought up in this context of this sugya. One is Schar Shabbos. So we'll start with that because I don't remember if we did that last week or not. And if we did, we'll do it again quickly. If we didn't, so we'll do it again quickly. We'll do it quickly. Anyway. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia says that it's usher to get paid for work that you do on Shabbos. The issur is on the person doing the work. It's not on the person paying, but it's on the person doing the work. I can't get paid for work that I do on Shabbos. But the Gemara explains that if you're paid on a weekly basis, you're paid for this week, or you're paid for this month, the month of July, so then the money that you make on the Shabboses that you work in the month of July, so there, it's mutter, you're allowed to get that payment because of the concept called havla, which means that it's almost from the word balua, balea, that's swallowed up. That the schar, the money that you're getting, right, you get a lump sum for the month. So the 4 days of Shabbos that you work during the month, and obviously it's malacha, it's mutter work, right? It has to be work that you're allowed to do on Shabbos to begin with, because you can't violate Shabbos, can't work on Shabbos if the work is a violation of Shabbos. So assuming that, for example, let's say you're a babysitter, and you babysit all the time, you babysit, you're paid for the whole month, happens to be on Shabbos, you also babysit. So you're paid for the entire month's worth of babysitting. It happens to be that four of those 26 days, take out Sundays, let's say, 4 of those 26 days happen to have been Shabbos. So we say it's okay, that's Schar Shabbos. That Schar is not considered Schar Shabbos. It's not considered money made on Shabbos because it's the Havla. It's kind of swallowed up. Now, it happens to be that case is understandable because the majority of the time that you're being paid for is not Shabbos, right? You're being paid for a month, so then obviously the majority of the days in that month are not Shabbos. The more questionable, puzzling application of this would be if, let's say, you're going to a hotel for Shabbos, right, and you're paying, let's say it was a Jewish-owned hotel, and you're paying for staying there on Shabbos, and you're not staying there, you're only staying there for Shabbos. You're coming a few minutes before Shabbos, you're leaving a few minutes after Shabbos, and you're just paying for Shabbos. So how is it possible that you're allowed to pay them for the work that they're giving you on Shabbos? So Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very interesting way of quoting sources, and all quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which is written by one of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach's Talmidim, his students, Reb Neuwirth. And so Reb Neuwirth quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the footnotes often. In one of the footnotes, he explains that Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, based on Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody has to do work to prepare for Shabbos, let's say the hotel, they need to prepare the rooms for you. They need to clean the rooms. They need to pay people to clean the rooms. They need to make sure they need to wash all of the linens, wash all of the towels, and everything has to be prepared for you. You're coming only on Shabbos, but you're paying not only for the Shabbos, but you're paying for all of the other things that happened that they needed to pay for and have done during the week. So therefore, when you're paying them for the what you're getting on Shabbos, it's mutter, because that part is behavla. That part is swallowed up, it's grouped together with the part that you're paying for of the work they're doing during the week. The chiddush there is that the majority of right of the work that I'm paying for is stuff that I'm getting on Shabbos, the services I'm getting on Shabbos, not the few hours, even if it's a few hours of work. To think that it's 25 hours worth of services of cleaning and preparing during the week, I don't think it would add up. And nevertheless, since some malacha is being done, some work is being done for me during the week, I can say, so all of the money I'm paying for Shabbos is also going for the things that you're doing for me during the week. To the degree that this opinion I saw quoted in the context of, let's say, a website. So the website does not, if it's selling items, it's open on Shabbos, right? The website is available on Shabbos, and people can come look at it. So the fact that it's holding items on Shabbos and selling items on Shabbos, you can say, some might say, that, oh wait, I forgot one step. One step is that the Noda B'Yehuda, I think I quoted this last week, the Noda B'Yehuda says that you're allowed to pay for going to the mikvah on a Friday night. If a woman has to go to the mikvah Friday night, let's say it's a hot mikvah, a warm mikvah, she's allowed to pay for using the mikvah. How can she pay for using the mikvah? How can the mikvah accept payment for something that for her going on Shabbos? So the Noda B'Yehuda explains, because you're allowed to pay for an object. What you're not allowed to accept payment for is services. But if I'm giving you goods, a product, so then you're allowed to pay me on Shabbos, right? Or I'm allowed to get paid for an object, a product that I'm giving you on Shabbos. So here, the Noda B'Yehuda says, by a mikvah, so they need to burn wood in order to heat the mikvah. So when a woman goes to the mikvah Friday night, what they're paying for is partially the wood that's being burned for the mikvah. So they're paying for not the services of the mikvah, but of the actual, they're getting goods. It's their wood, right? They're paying for that wood. So in that case, he explains, that's why once you're paying for the wood, which you're allowed to get reward for your products on Shabbos, you can't get reward for your services on Shabbos. The only time Schar Shabbos is usher is if I'm getting paid for my services. But if I'm getting paid for my goods, if you're getting something in return, then that's not Schar Shabbos. So that's why the mikvah, so then the service of going in the mikvah, that's behavla, that's swallowed up together with payment for the wood. So then, since you're paying for something that's mutter, the whole thing is mutter. So taking that, applying that to a website, so if you're selling objects, goods, products, so there's no problem of Schar Shabbos when you're selling goods, right? If I'm selling computers online, so if somebody buys a computer from my website on Shabbos, so there's no issue of Schar Shabbos there. Again, assuming there's no other issues, right? Assuming that everything we've spoken about up until now is not an issue, and the only issue is that how can I make money on Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to work on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to get reward, you're not allowed to get money. If you get money for your services on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use that money. You're not allowed to get any benefit from that money. So how could it be that I'm making money on Shabbos through my website? So the answer is, well, I'm not making money. I'm making money, but I'm not being paid for a service. The only time the money that I make on Shabbos is usher to get benefit from is when I'm being paid for a service. When I'm being paid for goods, when I'm selling you something on Shabbos, again, assuming that everything else falls into place in the mutter, so then that's not usher because of Schar Shabbos.
Can I ask the hotel rabbi? I know the other Alan Shulman, or Morzo, when he has people working his ways on Shabbos, they have to come in before Shabbos on Friday,
right,
and work for him, and also after Shabbos,
yeah,
on Saturday night.
So waiters,
whether he needs them or not, but then he makes them do something.
Right, so that's right, waiters, exactly. That's one of the common applications of this Schar Shabbos. How do waiters get around? If somebody's hired to wait for a simcha, let's say, on Shabbos, so how could the person be a waiter on Shabbos? Right? You're being paid for a service. That's a service. Right? I'm being a waiter. I'm as a service that I'm providing. So the answer is that you have to try to get the waiters should do something before Shabbos, do some setup, and they should clean up after Shabbos. This way they're working before Shabbos, they're working on Shabbos, and they're working after Shabbos. So now we know that once you're being paid for a whole group of days of work, so once there's part of the day that you're being paid for which is not Shabbos, then the part of the day that you're being paid for on Shabbos, the services on Shabbos, are mutter behavla. They're swallowed up. So yeah, that's exactly why.
Is there a number that's required to allow the 24-hour Shabbos to be swallowed up in?
That's,
is it 1 hour? Is it 10 minutes? Is it?
That's a good question. It's not so clear. That's why, you know, another example, I would have said anything except for there is a whole discussion about a chazan. Can you be a chazan? Can you pay to be a chazan? It's like the Yom Naran. There's a whole discussion about it. Yeah, but the question is, how can you pay a chazan for services that he's giving on Shabbos? And so it's a machlokas Rishonim, with a disagreement amongst the Rishonim, the early commentators, as to whether there's an issue of Schar Shabbos when it's for a mitzvah. Right? If I'm giving a service of a mitzvah, is that money usher?
Aren't services mitzvahs by definition?
What do you mean?
If I'm providing somebody else a service.
Isn't it chesed? That's a good question.
Why can't you use.
Here, well, hold on. Oh, just to get back to the chazan, right? You're right, to a certain degree. You're saying babysitting is a mitzvah. You're doing somebody a service.
I'm doing it for free, and the parents need a break, and I'm babysitting.
Well, so the matana. You can give a matana after Shabbos. I can give a babysitter a matana after a gift after Shabbos and say thank you for babysitting for me today. I know you weren't expecting to get paid. Here's a gift. That's one way about it, around it, right? But so when it comes to a chazan, so the chazan, if according to those who say that it is usur to get payment for services, even if the services are for mitzvah, let's say clear mitzvah like davening in shul. So then the question is, how can they pay the chazan? So the etzah that I saw, the advice that I saw brought down, was that the Baal Tefillah should come and daven not only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but also some davening during the week beforehand. But not any davening. It should be like the first night of Slichos. Because the first night of Slichos already is something significant. It shows up one morning, he acts as a chazan one morning for Shacharis on a Wednesday morning, you know, like, it's hard to say. That, I don't think the poskim were ready to say, that's enough. But if it's for the first time, it's Slichos already, so then already it's like something significant, then you're allowed to also get paid. So it's not clear exactly how much, the minimum amount of time, yeah. I mean, I saw this applied to the internet, that even if you're giving services, right? Let's say your website gives services. So the fact that the website has to pay to hold, the upkeep of the website throughout the whole week, right? So then that's enough to say that the schar that you get on Shabbos, the payments you get on Shabbos for the services of your website are mutter because of havlah, because of the money you need to put into the website to upkeep it during the week. So, but it's not clear where to draw the line.
Why can't you say everything's a gift?
Why can't you say that? What thing?
What do you mean everything's a gift?
For waiting a while.
You could, but
it's
a little bit of a harama, right? It's like trickery.
I mean, they don't play beforehand with the pain.
No?
No.
Some places.
Why can't you use the same thing? Why can't you just...
Well, you're right. You could do that, but, you know,
we know
that's not really a gift.
I mean, with everything else that goes on.
Because we know that a waiter's not going to do it if there's a chance that he's not going to get his gift at the end.
They just didn't want to
do it. Brit Mila, everything.
What about if they got paid before the thing?
It's probably the same thing.
Since they get paid a salary.
It's probably the same thing.
To get paid salary.
But then they're getting paid a salary for the whole month.
Yeah.
So that's different, right?
Well,
they get followed up.
If
they're getting paid a salary for Shabbos, then they need to be called to come before Shabbos, after Shabbos, to do something.
I can't use the whole thing with, like, you preparing to the mitzvah and the chazan. Chazan taking classes and preparing before.
Right. So that. Oh yeah, yeah. So that's another svara that I saw quoted. That maybe you can say the chazan, because he needs to put in time to prepare. That maybe that's similar to the website, you know, paying for the upkeep, and the hotel paying for the cleaning, and the preparation also maybe are included. Yeah, so it could be that would apply also. The Noda Yehuda was talking about the burning of the wood, because that was even easier way to get out of it. You don't have to get into, well, somebody has to clean it beforehand. You don't even get into that. Just say you're paying for the wood, and then this.
So I had comments between the schoolmasters, I think they actually had at the same thing every time they had family membership for the year.
Right.
To get around that.
Yeah. Is that to get around that, or is that just
a discount? It's so they don't have to pay me to go to meet every time.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's specifically for Shabbos.
Same, yeah.
But maybe it is. Maybe it is.
But paying beforehand is more of an incentive than a gift. What
do
you say?
Paying beforehand is not a gift.
It's not a gift.
No.
Right.
That's why paying beforehand probably won't help. You're still being paid. Right? And how do I know? If you don't show up, right, you're being paid beforehand to babysit on Shabbos, and you don't show up.
Then
are you
going to
say
it
again?
No, but then I won't give you the same incentive to come to me on Shabbos then.
I'll ask you for the money back, won't you?
I don't know.
Yeah,
no?
They would owe you the money.
Right.
Unless
it's a gift.
Right.
as the gift, not for the services. It's the gift for being a nice guy. Okay, let me know next time you need a babysitter.
Somebody would be really nice if you could come on the shop. They don't come, I won't give them money.
If I can take a non-Jewish waiter and non-Jewish babysitter also, they can't pay them a child?
What do you mean? No. That's different. They
you
there's
hire
no answer for them.
Waiter and then you
they can make money on Shabbos.
Can you hire a waiter and you hire a non-Jew working on Shabbos?
Yes, that's the different question of hiring non-Jews and how to do that. But yeah, that's a different, that's a separate question. Yeah. Okay, so that's Schar Shabbos. So it seems like most likely it's not an issue of Schar Shabbos. There's no Schar Shabbos issue here when it comes to a business running on the internet. Maris Ayin. So Maris Ayin is a pretty interesting sugya in itself, to just do it regel achas, quickly. So Maris Ayin, we know, is that if you're doing something that anybody can misinterpret as in one of two ways, then it's a problem. A, that somebody might see you, let's say, walking into the McDonald's and say, you're eating treif, right? Think you're eating treif. Or B, they see you walking into the McDonald's and say, ooh, McDonald's must be kosher, right? Either one of those is a problem of Maris Ayin. Right, because you're leading others to think one of two things, right? Either that you're doing something wrong, or it will lead them to do something wrong. So, the question is whether there's Maris Ayin involved here. It's discussed in similar contexts, for example, by the ATM machine in Israel. There was a whole discussion about it, by the vending machines, whether there's a problem of Maris Ayin. And likely, it's also a question of Maris Ayin here. If this website has your name on it, you know, and it's running on Shabbos, so it's potentially Maris Ayin, that people will think either you're doing something wrong on Shabbos, or that it's mutter when it's usher. So, the second one is not so clear, because first of all, we're not sure it's usher, right? So, it's hard to say, they'll think it's usher, they'll think it's mutter, and it's usher, right? Maybe it's not usher to have, leave your website running on Shabbos. So,
well,
that's a hard one.
I wouldn't know who's buying from the website of Shabbos. I don't know.
No, selling. It's your website.
Well, I wouldn't know. Who knows what's getting on Shabbos? At least
but it's open. It's open. You're selling. You're doing business on Shabbos.
So because I can't shut it down.
So okay, but if it's a problem, then you need to somehow disable the billing or the.
How do you know I don't do that? Are you checking on Shabbos?
No, let's say somebody sees it on Shabbos.
So
yeah.
Who's
saying? Who's seeing?
Well, they're being called
Shabbos. Different time zone. Oh. Well, Alan was in a different
time
zone.
Right. Alan's there in Israel, you know.
Right. Or you put on top of the website, open 24 hours, 7 days.
Right.
Or you got it on Shabbos. You woke up one morning.
Or your neighbor says to you, the non-Jewish neighbor says to you, you know, I was browsing and I saw your friend's website is open on, I don't know. Somehow you find out that it's open on Shabbos.
Yeah, but that gives you another
head
of
someone else.
Let me
talk to you with a picture of your website.
Right. Something like that. So there are some who think that this is a problem. To have your website running on Shabbos would be a problem of Maris Ayin. Others disagree. Because we know that when something is so accepted as I know that you're going into a rest stop, let's say you're on driving to wherever, and you happen to see a Jew coming out of a rest stop, and there are only non-kosher food establishments there, you'll assume that this person stopped to use the restroom and not to buy a cheeseburger at McDonald's, because you just assume it's a safe assumption, because yeah, of course it's a rest stop. Right? So when certain things become so normal and accepted that everybody knows, and when they see something they say, well, of course, you're not doing something else, sir. I know why you're doing that. Then that's no longer Maris Ayin. And it's very unclear exactly where to draw the line as to what everybody knows and what everybody doesn't know. It's very unclear. There were big discussions. The Poskim talked about when they came out with fake leather shoes. Can you wear fake leather shoes on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Right. So when they just came out, the answer was no, because it was Maris Ayin. But now everybody's so familiar with them that some say that nowadays maybe it's okay. Right. So Maris Ayin changes based on how accepted and how much everybody knows about the situation. So the question is, whether if somebody sees your website open on Shabbos, anybody will actually think that you're sitting on the other side of the computer doing something on Shabbos. Right? Probably not. Right? If somebody sees your website open on Shabbat, they're not going to think, well, you must be sitting in your computer in your office making filling all these sales. Right? They'll probably think, well, your website is open on Shabbat. But we know that that doesn't mean somebody's sitting on the other side of the screen and reacting to your clicks of the mouse, I think. Right?
Right.
I think that's a fair assumption. But still, others are not as convinced that that is enough to get rid of the problem of Maris, the potential issue of Maris Ayin. And they say that you should, as a precaution, put up a sign, or put up, not a sign, a sign on the ATM, but an announcement on the website basically saying we're not filling orders on Shabbos, right? That we're not taking orders, we're not filling transactions, and anything like that on Shabbos.
Which you have seen a website.
So they say, that's what somebody was telling me, that B&H has that on their website, that we're closing in, you know, whatever amount of time until Shabbos, and somebody told me that, I don't know how they knew, but that it says something like, you know, we will not be filling orders today on Shabbos. Is that true? Is that how it works? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to find out. Certainly not on Shabbos.
Oh,
yeah, I should have told you when you were in Israel, right?
When I was in Israel, you should probably
right. Okay, next time somebody's in another time zone, let's check the B&H website on Shabbos.
Is there not a website that we're not processing orders today, or are you still accepting the orders?
Yeah, you say something so that people know that there's nobody working on the other side of this, on the other side of the line. Meaning, if you're not processing any transaction, so you're basically saying, well, we're accepting mail into our mailbox, but nobody's going to open these pieces of mail to accept the transactions. So, in which case, then that would get rid of the problem of Maris Ayin, because you're basically saying nobody's in today. Do what you want, so that we'll be able to fill the order when somebody comes in on Sunday or Monday, but know that today nobody's accepting the order. By vending machines, I saw some of the tshuvas mention one more condition. By a vending machine, it's a little bit more difficult, because by a vending machine, a person's actually, if you own the vending machine, so a person actually puts the money into your vending machine on Shabbos. Here, it's the numbers and the computer and the credit card, right? But by the vending machine, somebody's actually putting money into your computer, into your vending machine on Shabbos. So they add that you should have in mind before Shabbos that any money that's put into my vending machine on Shabbos, I have in mind not to acquire until after Shabbos. Right? Let's say the vending machine to some degree is like your chatzar, right? So it's being koneh for you, it's acquiring for you, when somebody puts the money into the vending machine, it becomes yours. But you have in mind before Shabbos, if somebody puts money into this vending machine, I don't want to be koneh. I don't want to own it, it's not mine, it's still theirs, basically, until after Shabbos, then I'll be koneh. So that's just an extra. That doesn't really apply to the website. Doesn't really apply to internet. I don't think there's that quickly, as we've spoken about in the past, there's not really a transfer of funds immediately, in which case it's unnecessary to make that condition on an internet business. But the other condition of putting up some type of announcement saying that we're not really filling any of the orders, we're not filling orders, we're not accepting transactions today, so that would certainly get rid of the issue of, I think, of Maris Ayin. And the last issue, is Lifnei Iver. The last issue is Lifnei Iver. And we know that the Pasuk in the Torah says, Lifnei Iver lo shitein michshol, that before a blind person you shouldn't put a stumbling block. And that expanded into that you shouldn't do anything that will make somebody or help somebody do an Aveira. So the Gemara discusses that the only time it's a violation of that Isser Deoraisa, that Torah prohibition, is if it's like Trei Avri Dinara, meaning you're on two sides of the river. For example, the example that the Gemara gives is that if a Nazir, who's not allowed to have wine, is on one side of the river, and on his side of the river there's no wine, and he can't get to your side of the river, and the only way for him to get a cup of wine is if you were to pass it to him from your side of the river to him on the other side of the river. That would be a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Shitein Michshol, of placing a stumbling block in front of a blind person, according to the Torah. But let's say the Nazir could very easily go down the block and buy his own cup of wine. But I have a cup of wine, so I give him my cup of wine. But he could have gone and got it. He could have gone to get it somewhere else. So that is the machlokas, whether that is that mutter, since he could have gotten it somewhere else, it's completely mutter for me to give it to him, or that's an isur derabanan. That's a rabbinic lishna iver. I think most seem to assume, although according to the Rambam, it's not so clear. There's a Rama who sounds like it might be mutter, but I think the assumption is generally that that's an isur derabanan. That's lishna iver derabanan. That if it's chad avri den ahara, then you're standing on the same side of the river, right? And he could have gone somewhere else to get his cup of wine, but you gave it to him. So then that's not for certainly not an isur deraisa. And possibly an isur derabanan, possibly even mutter, right? Because since he could have gotten it himself, maybe I'm not really messing him up. So the question is whether here, by your website, leaving your website open on Shabbos, is that lifnei iver? Now, there's no lifnei iver in this case by a goy, because it's mutter for a goy to buy something on the computer on Shabbos. They don't have to keep Shabbos. So the only lifnei iver here would be if it's a Jew, right? If you're by you leaving your website open, a Jew might come and purchase something from your website, might be over on an isser. They might violate an isser. So if your website's in Hebrew, right, and most people reading your website are going to be Jews, so then there's more of a potential issue. But if your website's just another website that everybody goes to, so if it's in America, so certainly most people who are visiting your website will probably be non-Jews, just simply in the numbers, right? And they talk about this by the vending machine. If your vending machine is in the middle of Yerushalayim, so then it's more of a potential issue, because chances are there might be a non-from Jew who might buy from the vending machine. A greater potential of that happening there than if it's in the middle of, let's say, New York City, where most of the people who will be purchasing from your vending machine in the middle of New York City will be non-Jews. Because even if there are some non-from Jews, but most of the people there will be non-Jews. So it makes it a little bit easier to accept. There is a question as to whether there's lifnei iver if there's a suffix at all. The Rama talks about a case of if you can give somebody food. Can you give somebody food if you know that he's not going to make a bracha, or if you know he didn't wash or something like that? So it's a whole sugya in itself, but just without getting too deep into the whole question, the Rama does say you can give food to somebody if he didn't wash, as long as you don't know for sure that he will not wash or didn't wash. I mean, the only time it's a violation of lifnei iver to give somebody food and give somebody a sandwich and you know they're not going to wash is if you know 100% they didn't wash it, they're not going to wash. But if it's at all a suffix, if it's a suffix as to whether they will or will not, then there's no lifnei iver there, right? So in this case, certainly if it's a public website, which is not unique or, you know, to the Jewish population, so then there's probably no issue of lifnei iver, because it's only a suffix. It's a suffix. It's questionable as to whether a Jew will access your website on Shabbos or not. It's not 100%. It's for sure not 100%. And most of the people who will be accessing it will be non-Jews. So it's questionable as to whether lifnei iver applies. There isn't a separate issue of misayeya la'ovrei avera, which is very similar to lifnei iver, but what it means is that you're helping somebody, you're being an accomplice to somebody else's avera. So that, does that apply here? Right? It's spoken about also. It's similar to lifnei iver, which is setting up the stumbling block, but the question is, what about misayeya? Let's say there's no lifnei iver, is there misayeya la'ovrei avera, because you are being an accomplice, right? Even if there's no lifnei iver because of a technical issue of the fact that it's not for sure going to happen, but what about you'll be an accomplice if anybody does violate the isser of going to your website, so you will be an accomplice to their crime. So there are a number of ways around that. One is that being an accomplice to an avera is only an isser if it's an avera midaraisa, if it's a Torah violation of, if it's a Torah isser. But here, what isser are they going to be over if they visit your website? Right? If somebody goes to your website on Shabbos and they're Jewish, they're not in Frum, but they're Jewish, what are they violating? What Isser are they violating? By going to your website?
Shabbos.
Yeah, which part of Shabbos? What are they doing that's usher on Shabbos?
You're doing business.
So one is maybe doing business. They're buying something from your website, which is only usher midrabah.
They're using computers for 50, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but they're probably
using
doing
that.
They're using it anyway. But what they are doing is typing, because they're typing your website. Right? The electricity is being used anyway. Chances are their computer's on anyway. There's very little chance that they're turning on their computer to go specifically only to your website. But let's say their computer's on already, but they are typing to go to your website. So there is a whole question. I think we mentioned this in one of the earlier shiurim as to whether typing on a computer is an issur d'oraisa of writing or whether it's only an issur midrabanan of writing. So if it's an issur midrabanan of writing, so then there is no issue of misayeya la ovrei avera, of helping somebody commit a sin, because that only applies if it's an issur d'oraisa, and typing and doing business would only be midrabanan.
Are these non-religious Jews you're talking about?
So non-Jews can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, non-Jews are allowed to type all they want on Shabbos. It's only a Jew. Yeah.
Why don't they serve non-religious Jew in a restaurant during the week if they're not committed to bracha?
What?
Because it's in the Mishnah,
they're
allowed to serve
non-religious Jew. Right. So you don't know for sure they won't make a bracha.
You know the guy is whispering. We can't do that because you can get in trouble
for a while.
But you can't be in the spot, so it's only
99.999%.
Right. At most.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that... Still, he can make a bracha.
No,
he can make a bracha.
They don't know how to make a bracha.
Right. Okay, yeah. That issue is that...
Transliterated,
yeah. Yeah, okay, but that's a good question. And that question, that's why I said... We can really talk a whole time about that, but just because I would like to finish the next few minutes, the next 5-10 minutes, so that is a question. So other reasons why you would not be a problem of misayeya, of helping over averas, because there's a question as to whether that applies by Yisrael Mumar, somebody who's completely like kofar, Mumar, somebody who completely is kofar bakol, so it's not clear whether there's a problem of helping him do an avera, but also not a topic that I want to talk about now. And then there's another question as to whether the iser might only apply if you're doing something begufo. But if you're being passive, you're just sitting there, and you're passively helping somebody violate the iser, that also might not be a problem. It's also questionable as to whether lifnei iver, can you violate lifnei iver in a passive way, right? Or do you have to do something proactive? In all of these cases, right, one of the issues, in all of the issues that come up, one factor is always that you're being a passive party here, right? You're not doing anything. Your website is just up and running, but you're not actually doing anything. So that's a factor in all of these. And then finally, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this question, not this question, but about the issue of being misayeya over avera, of helping somebody do an avera. He was asked by a caterer, I don't know if it was at a hall, it sounds like it was at a catering hall, but a catering hall and a caterer, as to whether they're allowed to have weddings there where people might have mixed dancing. So Rav Moshe basically says that, first of all, it's certainly not lifnei iver midaraisa, because they can go to another catering hall if they'd like to. So they don't need you to perform this avera, they can go somewhere else if they'd like. So that's first of all. And then he says, and anyway, it's not clear that misayeya over avera applies if, right, you might be doing something good for them, because if you say no, then they're not going to say, okay, fine, we'll still come and not have the mixed dancing. They'll go find another hall, and maybe they'll go find another hall and get non-kosher food. So at least you'll be giving them kosher food, right? So at least you'll be helping them. He says, also, if the service that you're giving them, or the product that you're giving them, is not specifically to be used for an avera, but for whatever reason, somehow they end up using it also for the avera, but the main purpose of it is not for the mixed dancing. You're not renting it to them so they can mix dance. You're renting it to them so they can have a wedding, so that you can serve them kosher food. If they then decide in your catering hall to have mixed dancing, so that's not the main point, the main purpose of your catering hall, in which case it's not a violation of misayeya la over avera. Applying that rule to a website So the website, the main role, goal of the website is not to make sales on Shabbos, right? The main goal of the website is to sell goods and to sell the products and sell the services during the week, more during the week than on Shabbos. So if somebody were to then decide to use your website in a way which might be usher, like accessing on Shabbos, so that might not be a problem of being misayel over Avera. Just like the catering hall. Just because they decide to use the catering hall, which is really for one thing, which is really to have a wedding there, they decide to use it for something which is usher, they decide to do something usher there, so you're not responsible for it, you're not helping them, because that's them taking it and using it in a way they shouldn't have. So the same thing might be true about a website. That the main purpose of the website is not to make sales on Shabbos, not just to do business on Shabbos. The main purpose of the website is to do business. It happens to be somebody might use it on Shabbos, so, but it's probably not misayel over Avera. It's probably not being an accomplice to somebody else's Avera, because its main purpose is not for that purpose of being used on Shabbos. So, lifnei iver, misayel over Avera also, not so clear. Just to touch upon the question that Alan asked me from Israel, whose time zone does it depend on? Right. Well, let's say that it's a problem, so whose Shabbos are we talking about? Right. Let's say I have a website and I live in New York and somebody's accessing my website from Israel. So for them it's Motzei Shabbos and for me it's Shabbos. Right. So how long, let's say I put up a sign on my website saying I'm not accepting orders on Shabbos. Right? So when do I need to close it down? Do I need to close it down the first time anywhere on the globe it's Shabbos and reopen it the latest time that it's Shabbos? Right? That therefore nobody in the world can be violating Shabbos through my website? Or not? So, right. So the answer is probably what it seems that everybody seems to agree, that it depends on the person whose website it is. If somebody decides from somewhere else to go and access my website on their Shabbos, but it's not my Shabbos, so that certainly is not my issue. That, right? I should, because it's my website. So I need to make sure, I mean, it could be, it depends on the issue. If it's an issue of listening Iver, so then maybe you should have to shut down the website for all of the Shabboses across the entire world. Because listening Iver is that I'm doing something to mess somebody, to have somebody else do wrong. Right, you have to shut it down for 2-3 days, yeah. But it doesn't seem like that. Most seem to assume that it's the Shabbos of the person, where the person who owns the website runs the website, because it's his responsibility to not be making money on Shabbos, to not be doing business on Shabbos. Most of the issues are focused on the person whose website it is, not the person who's buying. So it's probably that. Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So it's not so clear, obviously, because as you've seen through the last 4 weeks, none of these issues are clear-cut issues, whether they are ushered, whether they apply, not do not apply. I mentioned the Star K came out with a stock in one of their issues that they thought it was okay to leave the websites run up and running because the transactions are not occurring on Shabbos. But Rav Elyashiv and Rav Vosner and others, who many of the poskim in Eretz Yisrael, seem to be machmir, that you should not have the website up and running on Shabbos, which is probably, I assume that's what B&H, I assume, asked somebody and was told to have that sign up saying we're not accepting transactions to get out of most of these problems. So it's not so clear. There's no clear-cut answer. There is a machlokas of even the modern-day postgame. It's still being debated. It's still being discussed and written about. But at least I think we covered most, if not all, of the potential issues that do come up when in the sugya of doing business on the internet on Shabbos. And I think we finished. Okay, so stop.